بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأسفياء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأوفوا بعهد الله إذا عاهدتم ولا تنقضوا الأيمان بعد توكيدها وقد جعلتم الله عليكم كفيلا إن الله يعلم ما تفعلون. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد كل ذرة ألف مرة. Honorable ulama, respected elders, beloved brothers, all praise and thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with Iman and Islam. Alhamdulillah, all praise and thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made us in the ummah of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has been very kind and merciful to us that He has allowed us to witness, you know, these blessed moments that come and go. But the person who takes advantage of them, he is the one that is fortunate, and the one that lets it go by, that is the person that is unfortunate and wretched. Ramadan comes like a wind, it comes like a guest. Those who take from it, they benefit, and those that don't take benefit from it, they are in loss. In a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is reported, is transmitted in Sahih al-Bukhari, من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Person who will stand up in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the night of Qadr, but the condition that is placed in the hadith is إيمانا واحتسابا. The person must have pure and proper iman with hope of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person, he's previous sins are forgiven. In this day and age, there's lot of targeting going on. Lot of masails are coming our way, especially those that target our iman. So this is the subject of discussion, so that we can understand how the iman of a person is under attack, and sometimes even unwittingly, unknowingly, in a person's simplicity and his ignorance, he gets washed away and he doesn't understand that he has battered his iman away. One of the things that is affecting the Muslims globally, it's not only in South Africa, it's a global problem, is the interfaith movement that has come into motion because of interfaith accords and interfaith charters that have been signed. Interfaith charters and accords that have been signed. For example, there was a Marrakesh accord, Makkah accord, Medina accord. Different accords in different places, different charters that have been signed by people of different religions, Jews, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, anybody and everybody you can think about have signed on these charters. Now, as things stand, what does a Muslim make out of this whole thing? Where is the guidance that I will find, that I will now come out of all this kind of fitan that are falling on my head? We look first in Quran Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this entire interfaith fitna very, very beautifully in Quran. The charters and accords that have been signed, the answer to it is also found in Quran. Number one, let it be clear that all these accords and charters that have been signed, they are a means of strife, a means of fitna, a means of division, unity, discord, confusion. It digs at the person's iman and Islam, and it erodes the entire fabric of his deen. The interfaith idea and ideology, it clashes with Quran and Sunnah. It is on a total different trajectory, and the khatm nubuwa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, iman in the message of all the anbiya, is on a different trajectory. This interfaith idea and movement, it has no scriptural basis whatsoever. It's not found in Islam. not found in Christianity, not even found in Judaism and Buddhism and other religions. So those who agree to this kind of idea and ideology, it means that they have given up their religion, step number one. And then step number two, they have agreed to now all become one so-called unit or interfaith unit or interfaith movement. So all those that have agreed to it, basically what they have done, they are atheists and they are duped because they finished give up their religion. It has no basis in any religion at all. So they finished, they threw the religion one side, now they're all jumping on this bandwagon of interfaith. No, we will all live together as one humanity, where anything and everything goes. So when you look in Quran, in Surah Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers this kind of idea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُوفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ إِذَا عَاهَدْتُمْ وَلَا تَنْقُضُوا الْأَيْمَانَ بَعْدَ تَوْكِيدِهَا وَقَدْ جَعَلْتُمُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَفِيلًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That fulfill your covenant and your promise that you have made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O believers, don't break your oath after you have confirmed it and you have made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a security and a witness over you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that you are doing. So now when you look in these ayat, this ayat and the ayat that follow over the next page, you understand that all these accords and agreements that have been signed, they have been signed without the consent and agreement of the people that these leaders claim to represent. So you find certain Muslim leaders in certain countries, they claim to represent Muslims, but the Muslims didn't authorize them to sign this kind of charter and agreement. The same goes with the Christian community, same goes with the Hindu community, same goes with the Jewish community. So this is discord and strife. It is strife between scholars and scholars, strife between masses and other faith groups. It is strife between man and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who are promoting this idea, they basically do it by twisting the ayat of Quran, by twisting the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, by divorcing the shari'i texts from their proper context, and this has no place in Islam. This covenant or this promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in this ayat, it refers to a person submitting to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person says, La ilaha illallah, then he has agreed and he has said that there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else is put aside. Everything else is shelved. He will only submit to one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people, they claim to represent their communities, but in reality they don't. And the ayat also tell us that they resort to double speak and hypocrisy. Even though they do this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of all the actions and deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّتِي نَقَدَتْ غَزْلَهَا مِنْ بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ أَنْكَاثًا تَتَّخِذُونَ إِيمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَنْ تَكُونَ أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ إِنَّمَا يَبْلُوكُمُ اللَّهُ بِهِ وَلَيُبَيِّنَنَّ لَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَا كُنْتُمْ فِيهِ تَخْتَلِفُونَ. So now in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the example of a lady that was in Makkah Mukarramah in the time of Jahiliyyah by the name of Rabita. She was insane, a mad woman. What she would do, she would begin in the morning, she would take her thread and then thread and put string an entire piece of cloth together. We know in times of before, the cloth wasn't manufactured like how it is today, spun by machines and threaded together by machines. It was done everything by hand. She would put each thread this way, each thread this way, each thread this way, each thread that way. Whole day would go in that particular process. Then, once the whole cloth was made, she would now start taking out each thread one by one by one to undo the entire cloth. So much of effort. That's why we know handmade carpet is so expensive. That's the reason, because of so much of labor that goes into it. So expensive cloth this person, strung together, put together. Now the whole thing is undone, thread by thread by thread by thread. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that do not become like this insane woman, that now once you have made your deen strong and your promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is established, now you start breaking it thread by thread by thread. You start saying that no, there is no tawheed, then you deny the khatm nabuwa by agreeing to interfaith, because interfaith denies the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you want to go on to now performing salat in a different way, and roza in a different way, and zakat in a different way. Every thread, all new things are being brought into people's lives. So like this, people are breaking the entire deen thread by thread by thread. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, don't be like this woman that is insane. You agreeing to interfaith, you are actually, imitating an insane person. And why are you copying this woman? Is because after you took your oath, then you made your oath as a means of deceit between you, that you are deceiving one another. You are telling people that no, this is fine and that is fine, but in reality it's not. And what is the reason for doing this? The reason is because when you go back into the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَتَّخِذُونَ إِمَانَكُمْ دَخَلًا بَيْنَكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ أُمَّةٌ هِيَ أَرْبَى مِنْ أُمَّةٍ. So what would happen in the times of Jahiliyyat, that there would be different clans and tribes. It would work in a clan and tribal system. There wasn't any so-called country or government as we can imagine today. That's how it would work in a tribal system. So if a certain tribe felt insecure about themselves because of their lesser numbers, because of their inferior weapons, because of their inferior wealth or whatever it is, so what they would do, they would make a pact and an agreement with another tribe, similar to theirs, and then they would say that, okay, we will trade and we will strengthen one another. If something happens to one tribe, the other tribe will be the backup and support. So if, for example, tribe A found support with tribe B, they would live along nicely. But then a certain bigger tribe came along, tribe C. Now tribe A would say, hey, you know what? There isn't so much of trade opportunities here. We're not going to be so well protected. Rather, we break our agreement with tribe B and we sign up with tribe C. So A and C would now get together. So they would deceive one another in this particular way. So now the same thing is being enacted today. The Muslim Ummah is being told that, look, you are a minority wherever you are. The non-Muslims are a majority in the world. So now, the Muslims now feel insecure about themselves, and they now resort to signing up and making agreements with other people of other religions that affect the aqidah system of a mu'min. So in this way, a person is bartering away his deen, and he's selling his deen. Why? Just because of that inferiority complex that he has, or he is told that no, he is a minority, is he insecure? You rather make an agreement with the Jews and Christians, and you rather make agreement with this one and that one. So in essence, what a person is doing when he's signing an interfaith charter is breaking his oath with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is getting together around the table with people of other religions to sign an agreement to say that no, okay, all is fine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will explain to you all the differences that you had, amongst yourselves. So the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put different majority communities around us. But that is a test from Him to see whether we will stand together with our allies, our true allies, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, pious predecessors, the genuine Muslims, whether we will stay with them or whether we will desert them. So there is no valid reason to break your pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and agree to an interfaith charter and accord. So in simple terms, when a person, he signs up to an accord or charter of this nature, what he is saying? He's saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not my ally. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the mu'mineen are not my allies. So those who engage in interfaith, what they are doing, They are fully immersed in undoing this garment of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful garment of Islam by breaking each one of its threads. Different forms of propaganda is put in front of a person that, look, this year is for peace building. This year is for humanitarian causes. But ever since these charters and accords have been signed, there has been only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how many percent increase, whether it is 100% or 1000% or 100,000% increase in attacks upon the Muslim Ummah in different parts of the world. We all know what is going on. That is not hidden from anybody. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have made you one nation, one ummah, but that defeats the purpose of your existence. It defeats the purpose of you being sent into this dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِ يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That's the test, whether to see who will be guided and who will be misguided. That choice a person has, that guidance is put in front of a person, whether you will take it or whether you will throw it aside. So we learn from this ayat that it is not the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that there be one single world religion. The above ayat is very clear. This ayat is very clear and emphatic in this regard. A person is either upon true Islam and he will be guided. If not, that person will be misguided. Then what happens once a person signs an accord or interfaith charter of this nature? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَزِلَّ قَدَمٌ بَعْدَ ثُبُوتِهَا. After you affirm upon Iman and Islam, now your feet slips. Now you, وَتَذُوقُ السُّوءَ بِمَا صَدَدْتُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And now you will taste the consequences of this terrible mistake that you have made for stopping the people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person slips, for example, in this regard, in this way, by agreeing to interfaith or agreeing to a charter of this accord, when a person slips in this world, he bumps somebody, he breaks his leg, he breaks his hand, he injures himself. So in the same way, person here also, his iman is negatively affected and he can lose his iman totally and completely, because what he has done is he has now embraced shirk. The reason is because every religion of this world is on one side of the scale and Islam is on the other side. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says in Quran that He has sent هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. Every other religion will be overcome by Islam. So this is the factor that will overcome every other religion. Islam adheres to pristine and pure tawheed, while every other religion is involved in some way or the other in shirk. We will end off on this note that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِأَحْدِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا إِنَّمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That don't sell this promise that you have made for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a cheap price. When those people who have signed these accords, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring it to here as a sale. When you sell something, on one side there is goods, the other side there is money. So here also, when a person, he will agree to a charter or accord of this nature, on one side there is money, the other side the person has sold his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, our progeny, till the day of qiyamah from fitan of this nature. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Inshallah, we say Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Abdullah Mullah, Ustad at Darul Mazadbal. Also very valuable writings alerting the Ummah to these various huge challenges on Iman under the name Maktaba Imam Al-Ghazali. Some very precious and valuable writings alerting to various attacks on faith, on Iman. It goes to the very core. We have these most precious days and nights remaining. Few odd nights, 27th still remains. So we turn to Allah Ta'ala fervently with sincere tawbah, repentance. And part of sincere tawbah and repentance is to make a firm intention to rectify, change our lives for the better, to leave haram and sin. That is the very primary objective of fasting, for taqwa to come alive. Let us value these very, very precious days and nights that remain with us as an esteemed guest about to depart. Take the maximum benefit, inshallah. After the salah, the collection will be for our masjid and madrasa. Let us, inshallah, open up, donate as generously as possible. last Jummah opportunity we have for contributing, the honor of contributing to the house of Allah, where we know rewards are multiplied many, many fold. The optional deed is elevated to the status of a farad, which is the greatest means of closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal. Let us not forget that our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would peak in his generosity during the month of Ramadan. So let us inshallah donate as generously as possible. So as mentioned last week, that within our community at the top end of Hill Road, the Amarantia Muslim Association embark on the building of a masjid inshallah and madrasa. The details are on the board as we leave on my left hand side. Let us inshallah try and contribute there as generously as possible as well. And then as far as the Eid Salah is concerned, weather permitting, inshallah Eid will take, Salah will take place at the usual venue at Marks Park. The talk will commence at 22 and Salah, Eid Salah at 7 a.m. sharp. Let us try and arrive timelessly for that. Brothers also requested, inshallah, Fajr Salah on that day will be the same time as the last day in Ramadan. Let us, inshallah, as many come ready at Fajr to proceed to assist in the laying out of the Eid Salah. And also humble request, inshallah, for us to remain after the Eid Salah to assist in the clearing up. We try and assist as much as possible. Take advice and instructions from the traffic marshal so as not to inconvenience anybody, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الملك الحق المبين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله صادق الوعد الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تحلوا شعائر الله فعظموها ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب منها المسجد الأقصى قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد مسجد الحرام ومسجد الأقصى ومسجد هذا أي مسجد النبوي صلى الله عليه وسلم عباد الله أرض فلسطين مسكن الأنبياء والمرسلين أول قبلة للمصلين نبي الله إبراهيم عليه السلام هاجر إلى فلسطين جاء في سيرته إني ذاهب إلى ربي سيهدين نبي الله لوط عليه السلام نجاه الله من العذاب بعد أن ترك قومه هاجر إلى أرض فلسطين قال الله تعالى ونجيناه ولوطا إلى الأرض التي باركنا فيها للعالمين نبي الله داود عليه السلام عاش بفلسطين وبنى فيها المحراب وهل أتاك نبأ الخصم إذ تسوروا المحراب نبي الله سليمان عليه السلام حكم العالم كله من أرض فلسطين وقصته الشهيرة مع النمل تشير إلى ذلك قوله تعالى حتى إذا أتوا على وادي النمل وذلك بجوار عسقلان في أرض فلسطين الله أكبر. نعم عباد الله, وكذلك كان محراب زكريا عليه السلام في فلسطين, ومرأة عمران نظرت لخدمة بيت المقدس. جاء في سورة آل عمران إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا فتقبل مني, إلى أن قال تعالى وكفلها زكريا كلما دخل عليها زكريا المحراب, حتى جاء في سيرة مريم عليه السلام فحملت فاندبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاءها المخاض إلى جذع النخلة, وهذه أرض فلسطين. سبحان الله وبحمده, سبحان الله العظيم. أيها المسلمون, المسجد الأقصى وما حوله هي أرض مباركة, أرض مقدسة. قال الله تعالى الذي باركنا حوله وبوابة الأرض إلى السماء, لأن النبي المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى إماما لكل الأنبياء فيها فعرج به إلى السماوات من أرض فلسطين. الله أكبر. صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم أجمعين. أمة الإسلام والقرآن, فلسطين عربية, مولد عيسى بن مريم عليه السلام, ومن علامات آخر الزمان أنه سينزل عند المنارة البيضاء وسيقتل الدجال عند باب اللد في هذه الأرض. نعم فلسطين عربية, أرض المحشر والمنشر, وأن يأجوج ومأجوج سيقتلون على أرضها في آخر الزمان. اللهم ارحم عبادك المظلومين المستضعفين في أرض فلسطين وفي كل مكان وحين. اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من الغاصبين الظالمين يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين يا رب العالمين. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة, فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, والعاقبة للمتقين, والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, فيا معشر المسلمين, قال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أيها المسلمون, هذا الإمام العلامة جامع العلوم والأعمال الحافظ القاري عثمان الداني يقول بإسناده في كتابه المكتفى عن علي رضي الله عنه أنه يفسر قوله تعالى محمد رسول الله والذين معه, أي أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه, أشداء على الكفار, أي عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, رحماء بينهم, أي عثمان بن عفان رضي الله عنه, تراهم ركعا سجدا, أي علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه, سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود, أي عبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنهما, ذلك مثلهم في التوراة. عباد الله, هكذا عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, إلا أنه فسر قوله تعالى يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا بطلحة والزبير سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود بعبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن أبي وقاص وأبي عبيدة بن الجراح, ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره بأبي بكر فاستغلظ بعمر فاستوى على سوقه بعثمان يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار بعلي, وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات بجميع أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. أخرجه الإمام السيوطي في الدر المنثور. اللهم ارض عنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم وفق المسلمين لما فيه رضاك. اللهم اهد ولي أمرنا للإسلام. اللهم الطف بإخواننا في فلسطين وفي سائر أصقاع البلاد يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم الطف بهم. اللهم ادفع كربتهم. اللهم احفظ دماءهم. اللهم فرج همومهم. اللهم يسر لهم أمورهم. اللهم عليك بأعداء الإسلام والمسلمين فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم خالف بينك كلمتهم. اللهم اجعلهم للمسلمين عبرة وآية. اللهم اجعلهم لمن خلفهم عبرة وآية. اللهم أنزل عليهم رجزك. اللهم أنزل عليهم عذابك. اللهم أذن يا ذا الجلال والإكرام بزوال هذا المصائب عن المسلمين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، ودعوه يستجب لكم، واسألوه من فضله يعطكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Let us straighten the sufuf. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والسماء والطارق، وما أدراك ما الطارق، نجم الثاقب، إن كل نفس لما عليها حافظ، فلينظر الإنسان مما خلق، خلق من ماء دافق، يخرج من بين الصلب والترائب، إنه على رجعه لقادر، يوم تبلى السرائر فما له من قوة ولا ناصر، والسماء ذات الرجع والأرض ذات الصدع، إنه لقول فصل وما هو بالهزل، إنهم يكيدون كيدا وأكيد كيدا، فمهل الكافرين أمهلهم رويدا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطور سينين، وهذا البلد الأمين، لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد كل ذرة ألف مرة ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم حرر المسجد الأقصى من أيد الظالمين اللهم عليك بأعداء الإسلام والمسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعدد كل ذرة ألف مرة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.